going on down there?
Oh, hi there, weary traveler. There's a whole bunch of on-the-spot TFCon 2014 recording in this supplemental. That means people might be swearing, and I ain't editing none of it because there's too much and I'm lazy. So sit back and enjoy some stuff from before our live recording panel and some stuff from after our live recording panel. I hope you enjoy it, because if you don't, then that's what you get for continuing to click on supplementals.
Hey everyone, it's Saturday morning, and it's the second time I said that. I'm here with Aaron in our hotel room.
Yes, you're awake and alive, and it's not too far past noon.
No, well, no, it's 11 something.
Oh, it's 11 something. Yeah. It's not even noon.
Yeah, damn it.
Yeah.
So, I was up pretty late working on a thing. I didn't actually, I had a beer. But I went to this room full of people we know who were up well past five, I'm pretty sure.
I saw tweets going into daylight.
I saw tweets from, like, Secret Code going, like, I'm just not sleeping. I was tempted because I was up at six. I went to bed just after six. I was like, maybe I should just stay up another hour and just go get breakfast, then come back up and sleep.
Yeah, I saw people in the dealer room that looked very haggard. And I'm like, oh, how much sleep did you get? And they looked at me, paused, blinked. None? None. That's how much sleep. Oh, you were drinking hard when I went to bed. Yep. Are you done shopping?
I don't
probably.
No.
It's like, you should probably be done shopping now, just for your own sake.
Well, it's been a pretty busy TFCon. The only thing that I've got to do quickly is try to get the Bluster and Trench. Although I suspect being one per and 95, it's my theory that there's an initial rush and I still have a little bit of time.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Because, yeah, I messed around with them a little bit earlier on. They were pretty neat.
Yeah, I messed with Gerardimus's. I am schlepping three or four different things for him since he couldn't make it. And each time I'd go up to the dealer, I'm like, you take PayPal? Yeah, okay. See what they had. Text him. He's like, oh, that. Okay. You're going to get a PayPal here in a bit that's not from me, but I'm taking the toys home, and get kind of that confused look. I'm like, he got stuck in Indiana. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I can do that.
I've still got some toys that people are going to buy off me that I haven't connected to their buyers
yet. Are these those knees we're going to have to go break if they don't show up?
Possibly. I know Pajama Prime's around here.
Okay.
And I need to, like, he's got a couple little things. Adam Deathformer has a little thing, and I want to try to sell him a few other little things because I'm nice.
Okay. You have to remember we do have the Enforcer and Alfie as well.
I know.
We'll just walk up like, hey, or else, and then just turn, and she can just do the, like, knuckle pop and one roundhouse kick in the air and come down to a fighting stance, and that money will come out real quick, I bet.
I like the idea of knuckle pop into roundhouse kick, because they have nothing to do with each other.
Right, right, but just know that it's up top or down low. She'll take you out.
I'm just trying to think about the last 2 days. Not that much happened on my end. I kind of got in here Thursday, hung out. Yesterday, hung out.
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of stuff going all of a sudden right before karaoke. Felt kind of bad. I went into karaoke about 10:30, and it already looked dead. I asked some people. They said the big problem was people were being seated for food in the karaoke room.
Yeah. There were some people that were sitting in the mid-range that were doing that whole, why is there karaoke going on here when I'm trying to eat food?
Yeah, because I went up, and I looked at the track list, and I was trying to think, like, System of a Down aerials, or Nine Inch Nails had, like, a hole. And I looked back at the room, and last year I looked back at the room, and I saw lots of standing, lots of pent-up energy. This time I looked back at the room, I just saw people sitting. I saw some people in the back waving their hands around, and I was like, I'm just not feeling it. And then I was out there in the front of the bar, thinking to myself, okay, I got to work this. I want to work this up. I want to do this. And I got a text saying, hey, come up to this room to figure out stuff for your panel on Sunday. And I was like, well, guess I'll go do that instead. But you were having some adventures since you got here.
Yeah, we got here Wednesday. We started super crazy early and drove pretty much straight through. We made great time. I had started to feel haggard a time or two, and I'd look back and see everybody asleep and look over and see Alfie asleep and be like, well, I guess I'll keep driving because everybody else is asleep. And
let's take the Red Bull crap
through through the border. We had one car ahead of us at customs, and just were straight through. And then got here, and did we even really do anything Wednesday? I'm looking back to the other one here. Wednesday after we got here?
Yeah, we went to Ian's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We went to Cheers Ian's place for the kind of kickoff, and him and his wife hosted a great party. And then Thursday we went to downtown Toronto for a death march. You may have seen that on Twitter, where GMFan101 has no idea how his own city's metro system works. And we ended up going to Silver Snail. I got a D&D module and some dice. The D&D module was like a tenth of the price that it should have been. So hard to say no to a deal like that. Especially everybody going like, God, these Silver Snail prices, huh? I'm like, yeah, 10%.
I was like, diamond prices.
Yeah.
You guys got to go to more comic shops.
Right. And then yesterday we did Niagara Falls. And a lot of the people hadn't been before. And I had been there like 20 years ago. Mm. And we went and instead of parking on the other side of the tourist trap stuff for $5, we just bit the bullet and we parked for $20, but we got out of the car across the street and we were at like the Canadian Niagara, the Horseshoe Falls. That's where I was going, the Horseshoe Falls part, and it was like, it's a whole lot of that, and we walked around, took some pictures. We got on that sweet American data for a little bit and
like reach over the falls
and had a whole lot of text messages and other stuff dumped that's not going through Wi-Fi. And
I love border data where you're just like, come
you're
on,
just, you're just
waving your phone.
Reaching the arm. Yeah, I'm just standing at the border and the guards are like, yeah, we know, LTE.
Like, I could touch my text plan.
Yeah, but keep getting pathetic pictures of the dogs from home, from my brother who's dog sitting.
Aww.
And all of our dogs just sitting by the door like, you're not coming home, are you, Dad? And then I feel bad a little bit. And then I go, ooh, more toys.
I spent most of Thursday just hanging out. I had I went to use the breakfast buffet because I wanted to do that once.
Yeah.
And it was $24.
Well, I've still not breakfast buffeted for that exact reason.
I decided to go use it because they have bacon.
Uh-huh.
And every now and then I like to do a breakfast buffet with bacon because I just get my money's worth
just
in
like
bacon.
8 pounds of bacon.
That's all I ate yesterday. I had that breakfast buffet. I had like way too much bacon and eggs,
uh-huh.
And I didn't feel hungry for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
It was kind of perfect.
Full.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, you get a big breakfast of protein and whatnot, and just like, you walk around and do stuff all day, and you're like, bam. Felt pretty good, because I was getting worried, because I was like, oh, I missed kitchen closing again, but I was like, I'm not hungry at all.
Yeah, we I think Thursday hit up Walmart and got bunch of like breakfast bar things and little things like that so that we're not as tempted for the lunches. Just so it's like, yeah, I just need a little something to get through and then we can do a nice dinner. A little bit of contrap, but I guess since we drove this year, it's not like having to beg on somebody's car. Then we're the ones like, hey guys, are you going to Timmy's? Can you bring me some Timmy's?
I'd like some donuts, please. Your chewy apple fruit crumble bars by Quaker made an appearance in the back of the Columpio video.
Yeah, good.
To the point where I got people asking if I was trying to do Age of Extinction style product placement and subliminal messaging.
You should have. Call up the Quaker people. Be like, yo, I review toys on the internet.
You didn't see the videos we shot of your hound on Thursday. On Thursday, Kal-El from Australia was like, hey, let's do a video about my Android 18 figure arts. I was like, all right. Then him and like four other people came up here with me, three or four other people. And we all just came here and did a review of that. And then Joe Ichabod had gotten this little figurine of Owlman. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's do a video of that too. And then afterwards, I was like, that was good. Then someone pointed at your hound. And I kind of stared at it for a few seconds, like gears turning in my head. And I was like, bring it over here. And that review starts with, hey, everyone, we're here with a review of Aaron's hound. And
do I get some of that sweet YouTube money off of that?
Well, you weren't here, so it's finder's keeper's rules.
I did not give my toy likenesses away for that. I'll need some sort of compensation.
I Edisoned you. I was dropping that on PL a bunch of times when he was doing his Columpio thing. I was like, I'm the Nikola Tesla of this situation. But no, we had fun at the expense of your hound. He's still in the something smock position that he ended up in.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. It's quasi gorilla but arms locked together. Maybe if you popped that apart a little bit. I'm not real sure what that is.
Yeah, we had a pretty good time. Opening ceremonies were neat. The charity auction, I finally participated. I have some small regrets because I was like, oh, I suddenly spent $80.
You went for the mystery box. That's never a winner.
I only wanted to do a mystery box if I was going to do anything at the charity auction, because I was like, I've got to say I did it.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I got some stuff out of there I wanted, but now I really got to hunt down people who wanted to buy things off me, because that was about a third of my budget that I wasn't thinking about at the time. I was thinking of the children.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, one of the things I got was an Armada Starscream, like, okay, on card.
Yeah.
And someone's like, do you not need that? I'm like, no, I have it. Like, how much for it? I was like, $10.
Yeah.
Like, boom. I'm like, all right, I've now made money at the expense of children.
No, I was really surprised. There were some things that went for super low and some things that went for super high. Nick's tin can stuff with his artist proof and the pink slime version and a print
was
like $25.
What the?
It was like two people at 10, and they kept their hands up, 20, 25, one guy dropped, and I was like, what the? Okay, I guess.
That must have been right after I decided to take off.
Yeah, well, I think that was the problem, is that I was one of the people that was doing the running, and it was just like a matter of just try and grab some stuff that goes together and take it up. Like, yeah. I took up a bunch of poly bags that didn't sell as a bunch for like $60, but ended up selling
sold for like
separately. I think the total was in the 200s.
Yeah.
For the total that it went for. So I was just trying to do like quick boom, 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 but then didn't get any bids at 60, 65. And Ian was like, okay, we'll do them individually. You know, 5, 10, 15, 16, 17, 18, 18. You know, 5, 10, 12, 13, 14, 14.
I got in on a few of those, trying to just, like, I was trying for a few, but on some of the art stuff, I was almost like, especially with Nick's stuff,
yeah,
I was kind of like, no, I'm just going to bid until it gets up to the point where it should be.
Yeah.
And often it did. If I was there for that 10 can, I would have done something about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I ended up with, like, some other people's secondhand stuff. I think I lost on the Transformers Rise of the Dark Spark for Xbox 360.
Well, you have it, so yes, you lost.
Yeah. And then, so I put together a set that was two of the Micron weapons and the Korbot War Axe.
Yeah.
And as I walked by, I told Alfie, who had my bidder's card, like, hey, bid on this up to, what'd I say, like $35? Mm-hmm. And so then that went, and somebody went to 40, so she dropped her card. Thank you. And
welcome.
And so then I saw the guy in line. I was like, oh, you SOB. I was, you know, told the girlfriend to bid on those, but you outbid her. He's like, oh, I didn't really want those. I wanted the Korbot Axe. I'm like, well, what do you do for those then? And then got them for $5 a piece.
Which ones are these? I was trying to identify. Is this OP?
This one has the Go. And that's the Mantis one. And I'm not sure which one that is. That's the clear blue.
This might be the Optimus one.
Maybe.
Oh, it is. It's the Optimus one. I have this one.
Yeah. Okay. But it was just one of those, like, man, I like doing these builds, so why not?
Yeah. And we got this, I just noticed you got the final TFCon exclusive. Yeah, it's KFC's Pestilence.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody was just like, I bought like five of them here, Aaron. Have you gotten one? No, here. But okay.
I think that was
Kal-El
again. I actually bought one.
Yeah, sucker.
It was $20.
Yeah. It's for $20, that's good.
Yeah. I never messed with the KFC Steeljaw. It's Steeljaw in toxin colors.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a drone. And you know, me and my ongoing KFC cassette story.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I kinda like them, but I always have bad luck with them.
Yeah.
I haven't finished transforming mine because I couldn't get his head out.
Oh.
But
you just need to get that coke nail up in there.
Oh man.
So you need to start doing coke.
Okay.
And then you can get the nail, and then you can get it set up.
I could just get a flathead screwdriver.
You could do that too, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. Well, I already have a bit of a haul too, because last night me and Ben got in touch with folks about our panel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Quantron in the room that's not ours, actually. We're giving it back.
I may have licked it. That makes it mine, right?
No.
Oh. Did you lick it first?
I didn't lick it, but...
Oh. I need to get a drink.
That's going to be what me and Ben use for our fan media panel. So he's got two of the limbs. He's got the strafe and nose cone. And I've got the other two. And he left the big guy here. But we're not going to use the big guy for the review because that's just too much. We're each basically picking a limb.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with the car guy because I figured him out.
Okay.
And he seems to be working okay. Because this is like close to production, but still not quite production.
Okay.
So the motorbike guy is... fine, but he's less fine.
Polished.
Yeah, he's less polished than the car guy. The car guy seems pretty much final.
Cool.
And they're neat toys. Ben was stuck for, I would tell you, an hour trying to figure out how to get nose cone from robot to drill tank without instructions. Because that guy, he like extends into like a triple paneled like thing.
Okay.
And has to refold up on himself. And it's insane. They feel good though. And
the little bit that I fondled them while you were asleep, but they're going to be worth it, I think.
Red Car Man is the one where I can really see what they meant in the PDF about tweaking the transformations to be simpler.
Right.
Because once I realized where everything went and I stopped trying to use leg or arm mode bits, to get them to car mode, and I was like, all right, oh, this is pretty simple.
Yeah. That's light speed, by the way. Red Car Man.
Yeah, Red Car Man. What else did I miss? Oh, and then we also, last night, him and me did our video reviews for Columpio, the Diaclone version.
So what is Columpio?
Ben remembers. I don't. It means something, and so does Drepan.
Okay.
It means, like, swing and slash or something. Like,
okay.
And
so they're going for translated S names?
I think so.
Okay.
That's kind of great. I didn't realize the S part.
I guess you gotta have a theme.
But I'm kind of bummed out because I liked the name Derpin better than Drepin, so we decided the Diaclone guy that comes with this version is Derpin.
Okay. Derpin or Derp?
Derpan.
Derpan, okay.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we get it right for the wiki.
Yeah, Derpan with an A. This is a variant of the first of their Lost Exo Realm Dinobots, so this is done with more chrome and more of a Diaclone paint job, Diaclone-y box, and a little, like, updated Diaclone pilot guy, who doesn't transform, unfortunately, and his presence doesn't mean we don't have Drepan, so neither of us have gotten to mess with a guy who turns into an axe that then holds an axe.
Wait, does his axe transform?
No.
Oh.
His axe becomes part of his axe mode. I know. In the trash!
All the way down.
I think it's a cool idea for an exclusive version. It sounds like they probably aren't going to Diaclone the rest of them.
Yeah, I've heard people in the dealer room that were hemming and hawing, actually, about getting it because they don't have the other one, and if they start with this one, then they'll want to get them all chromed.
Yeah, like...
And I've then heard other dealers be like, we're leaning on them to try, like, look, we'll do all chromed versions as special low runs because everybody wants them, and so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, because like the way I process this is the regular one comes out next month, so this is basically the I want it now version.
Right.
And then if you want the one that matches the rest, you get it again later.
Double dip for the win, right?
It's a really nice toy, so I'm not against that. It's not super complicated. It's one of the most... I don't know if simple is the right word, but it's one of the easiest Fans Project toys. Yeah, streamlined Fans Project toys in a while. And he's got a lot of just straight-up ball socket joints, which means he's not one of their particular designers.
Right.
Like he's got huge ball socket joints. Big balls. And he's fun. And I found out that the dino mouth can open, and the teeth are really sharp. Like, they hurt.
Why'd you do that?
Because Ian Reed told me to put my finger in the mouth, and I did.
Okay. If he told you to put your finger in somebody else's mouth, would you do it?
No, because they're not a dinosaur.
Oh. There's some logic there.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a neat toy. He's got styrofoam in the box. Like, it looks a lot like an offshoot of the Glacial Bots, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
the gimmick of having, like, an opening rider seat and then, like, styrofoam in the box.
Yeah.
So, I'm guessing that people have been buying those in the dealer room. I haven't
But they still have, like, cases and cases of them.
Well, they brought hundreds, yeah. I think. So, it's not going to be a virus case. Although, I did find out who actually made virus sell out.
Yeah, who was that?
You.
Oh.
So, if anyone wants the last virus, Aaron does have it.
Yeah.
He claims he's giving it to Jared, but I think he's just going to hang on to it. So if you see him, just ask him, hey, you still got that virus? The one that you made the sellout happen with? He'll be at Silas's table.
Yeah.
So it should be...
I actually did mention that to Silas. Do you want me to bring that virus down so you can just sit on the table so you can get another year of that? And he looked at me... Somewhere between, like, that's a great idea, and I would rip your intestines out through your nose.
That'd be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of an angry look.
It's just thin artist fingers of his. That's how you could do it. Ugh. There's some panels today I want to check out. I'd like to check out Aaron Archer's Q&A. That's at 3.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually quite happy that there's, like, nothing going on in the morning for me. I need to find some reports, though, on the Meet Mr. Optimus Prime panel.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was happening as I was still tootling around the dealer room for the first run.
Was anyone in there?
Yeah, let us know.
Because I want to know what happened. I want to know what on earth the panel was.
Yeah, that was the one that I was joking about turning into the Nerf War panel, but then totally forgot about. So that didn't happen, I hope.
What happened at 10:30 in the morning, too? So most people were asleep or not caring, I think, to go to the panel
when we
room.
Went down right at 9, the lineup to get into the dealer room was almost back to the elevators.
Good Lord.
And so we went through, and then, no, it was just before 10 that we came back up to drop off all the stuff from the preview hour or whatever. And then the line for the ticketed pay was back to the, was it not quite into the lobby, but just short of, like, the revolving door. So it was, there have been some healthy lineups.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to some of the later panels very much. I want to see how Aaron Archer's Q&A goes. I'm wondering what people will ask him.
Right.
I'm wondering what he's still willing to talk about, if there's anything he's still not willing to talk about. Because who knows what it's like to, you know, step away from a company like Hasbro, what things you still have to sign.
Especially as far along as he got.
Well, yeah, head of Boys Toys.
He wasn't just like dude in the mailroom. He was head of Boys Toys. So how long he still has NDAs, is that maybe why he's been... And dark cover for a year to
look like a
grizzly man.
I saw a picture of him with General Techno on Twitter, and I was like, "Holy crap! Aaron Archer has become a wizard."
Yeah,
he looks like Radagast.
Yeah, that's why he's been, mostly missing for years, going through all of that. He actually said that he had trimmed his beard back just for TFCon. So
at one point it was like down to his ankles.
Yeah, I'm thinking he'd like stepped out of the woods after a year, pulled the sticks and leaves out of the beard, and then trimmed it up for the show. So,
man, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm hoping I can grab him for a bit of sit down chat at some point. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
There's some voice actor Q&As going on as well. I'm hemming and hawing on it. Like I'd like to sit in on one of them, but this is how it always happens now. I want to sit in on it, but then I'm doing something when it's happening, and I'm like, well, it's a voice actor Q&A, and I've been to a gajillion of those, and
not to crap on those guys, but it's at some point you've seen four or five of them, you know what the questions are going to be, and the healthy amount of dance monkey dance, do this voice during the drive through. Oh, okay, really?
Well, it's not the voice actor's fault, but it's like I always say about the Peter Cullen panel. It's best example. Once you've seen enough of them, it's time for you to not take the seat and for someone else to see it for the first time.
Yeah.
So all those things, though, hopefully I can catch at least some snippets and recordings of them in the aftermath if I miss them.
Yeah.
Tonight we've got Faction Feud. Faction Feud, don't I? I still don't know what's happening with Faction Feud.
Yeah. Do you know what's happening with Faction Feud when you're there?
I'm making a real good face.
Yeah.
I guess I just gotta my goal right now, head to the dealer room, try to grab Mario and Luigi.
Be a Bluster and Trench, and
I'm gonna see if I can PayPal those.
Yeah,
because I have PayPal balance.
He did that for us. So
yeah. Worst case, if I come back to this podcast saying I missed him, then everyone just send me the sympathy replies. Yeah. Send me the "you stupid bastard" replies.
I'll sell you mine for 400 replies.
Only 400?
Your friend.
Well, thanks. After the flip, we'll be back at whatever point I record something again here on WTF at TFCon 2014. Hey, Aaron, we're back.
Yeah, we are.
It's the evening.
Yes, it is.
I'm turned entirely away from you.
Yes, you are.
So,
impolite.
Yeah.
There's someone in the way, though.
What do we say?
Please.
So you'll say it here. Where
I like you.
Okay.
Feisty lady in the elevator that got upset I didn't say please when everybody else was shouting out their floor numbers. She can... I guess we're
She can stand behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just told a story, and I kind of want to make him tell it again right after he told it. But
somebody, I won't say who, forgot a microphone and cable so that we can two-mic this.
You mean after I got the start time of the Faction Feud wrong by an entire hour?
Yes, well, they probably told it to you wrong.
Well, it says right here on my scheduled lanyard that it starts at 1:00.
Yeah, it starts at yours is cut right off. Everything starts on the hour. What hour that is, it's anybody's question.
It's up to me to try to remember, basically.
But, get in the elevator, and a bunch of other people hop in, and somebody says 4, somebody says 8.
And I say 7, and she looks at me and cocks her head, and she says, excuse me? I say 7, thinking maybe she misheard me. She says, what do you say? I'm 7? 7, please? I'm like, 7? And I reached over and pushed the 7 button, and away we went.
Hooray!
I didn't know that pleases were a part of elevator etiquette of people piling in.
I've never before encountered a passive-aggressive person on an elevator.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's new.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the day. Aside from me missing starting the faction feud, that's like the latest event.
Yeah.
Previous event was I interviewed a guy, and I completely was like freaking out because I stopped the interview. Like, I pushed stop on this thing.
Yeah.
And it said data write error. And I was like, well, there's no way the camera audio is usable for this interview, so I might be in trouble. I ran upstairs and organized all my footage. Took a little while.
Yeah.
Went looking for the audio, and it was there.
Okay, so what's data write error mean? Were you in close up on the end of the card, or?
I think it's just this thing sometimes when it hits a glitch. It doesn't hit a glitch often. When it does, it makes sure it's scary.
Yeah, okay.
Well. So that was scary.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your day, though. What did you do?
Did a few more rounds of the dealer room, picked up a commission that Alfie had done of a wind charger, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah?
Hit up Ian's table and got a big grab of Robot Heroes for next to nothing. He was just like, I want them gone, so get them gone.
Yeah.
And I'm down to 40 space bucks now.
Yeah, I went and paid for my my Columpio, and I picked up G2 Breakdown. And then I went and grabbed the plumbers.
Yeah.
And more or less my money.
Yeah.
That I was going to spend. And then I got a whole bunch of requests. Not just me, but a lot of people got a whole bunch of requests to buy multiples of the plumbers, multiples of Columpio,
yeah,
to ferry back to them. And it's like, I wish I could, but I don't have that much capital.
Right.
And
well, that's how I handled it for Gerodimus, was said PayPal, told that person the PayPal address to send it to, and then just like, I'm going to take the toys.
Yeah.
What they don't realize is those toys may not make it to Indiana. I don't know. Things happen. Things fall off the truck.
Yeah, they fell into your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Things happen, you know.
Yeah. Did you hit up any of the panels?
Did the Aaron Archer Q&A and then the third party.
Those were the two I did.
Yeah.
So Aaron Archer Q&A, I thought it went pretty well.
It did.
It could have gone bad.
Yeah.
But I thought it went really well for what it was.
There were some questions that I think were asked in order to, like, give him the chance to vent, and he just gave an astute answer.
Yeah.
And the only walked on.
Only one unlicensed toy question.
Yeah.
And it was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Tactfully asked.
Yes. It was tactfully asked and delicately answered.
Yeah.
Because if you took it at straight face value, he kind of fibbed a little bit. But
well, it's all about the language.
Yes.
It's all about the end of the answer.
Yes.
That was the key part, where he said, we don't... Because I think the question was, do you ever take inspiration or reference from unofficial things? He said, no, because we don't want to be caught stealing from people who are stealing from us. That would be terrible.
Right.
And then he went on to say, we take no more inspiration from that stuff than we do from, you know, say, Gundam or Super Robots.
Right.
Which means maybe.
Yeah.
But not like straight up.
Right. Yeah. Well, he did say that we have none of them in-house. And that was the one that I'm like, I think that's a fib, because we've seen those designer desk things before and done the high-res enhance in the background. And I know that we saw a City Commander on a Hasbro employee desk before.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I figure they're probably in-house, but probably illegal. They're shooting missiles all over the place, those guys.
Nerf missiles, remote control, just like pump action. And the third-party panel, a bunch of stuff showed up in there and all showed up on the web right after.
Right.
What's the thing that caught your eye the most?
Is it bad that it was the Chibi Warden and...
No, that's not bad at all, because those were adorable.
Yeah. But it's like so many of the things, I mean, not to unfortunately harp on third-party, but it seems like a lot of them are taking cues from things that are out already. Because we've got three versions of Defensor?
Two.
What was the one that we saw the third? Oh, Minasaur.
Yeah.
Minasaur, yeah. We're getting a third version of Minasaur, two versions of Defensor, a whole lot of the same thing. And I understand that there's crosstalk, and they're probably all getting excited about the same thing at the same time and getting into the process at a point that's too far to step away. But, again, it'd be nice if in those things they kind of went, look, we'll do Defensor this year, you do Minasaur this year, you guys do Computron this year, and cycle around a little bit because it's rough.
I don't think they talk in a way where they play nice with each other to that degree.
It's just rough sitting there seeing like Ares and Ferrorex next to each other. And to me, Ferrorex is out of the park and Ares is an also ran. That's, you know, purely my opinion. Were I to buy one, it would probably be the Ferrorex. And it just seems unfortunate because the Ares isn't bad, but it's putting the two of them side by side coming out almost piece for piece at the same time. It's like, man, unfortunately, there's probably money being lost on both sides by not having some sort of like non-compete clause. Not like we're doing it to coordinate and everybody's happy, but more like a non-compete.
I think
level.
It's because like everything has stylistic differences, and I think there's a lot of designer pride in there.
Right. Oh yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if you look, that's another time where I'm like, it depends on whether you look at like the market as one thing or as you know, unfortunately, what it is a bunch of independent companies making their unlicensed stuff. There's nothing preventing any of them from doing the same thing, and whoever's doing it thinks they're going to do the right one and prove the other one wrong.
Right.
That's why I'm actually really excited about the companies doing legend size stuff.
That's
new territory.
Yeah, that was what was that the?
That was the
two that were like the Optimus Starscream
and Ironhide.
And Ironhide.
Video game.
Yeah. Ones, well, because when we saw those at first, I'm like, okay, we've had a couple different versions of that Starscream, no big whoop, and then they showed it next to the Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
That's where Prime was in my head. It was like, no, that went from being, what the heck, to, oh, well, okay, that makes a whole lot more sense now. That'll be maybe $15-$20.
I'm glad they got in on the slideshow, because I've been following that project for a little while.
Yeah.
Them and VIP, and Unique Toys is also doing some Legend Scale stuff.
That's where I think maybe some of these we don't quite know who they are could get themselves a good grounding, kind of the way that Perfect Effect started out.
Yeah.
Because they did all of the Microbot dudes, all the cassette guys into weapon packs, and that was a neat concept. Let them get a whole lot of work and ideas under their belt and get trust in the name.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, when you have some of these guys that have maybe not done anything or done one thing, and then they decide to do the biggest thing ever, that by the time it comes out, there are five that are bigger than it in the pipeline behind it. And it's like, okay, well, your claim to fame was that you were going to be 3 centimeters taller than the previous one, and now the next one's coming out is a half a meter tall.
And I think this all can also connect to the last thing, or one of the last things Aaron Archer was asked by Aaron Roth. Where do you see action figures in 20 years? And I agree with him. They're going to be for collectors, custom made.
Yes.
You have to look at stuff like, you know, what we're talking about in the third party panel, as well as, you know, easy example, Boss Fight Studios.
Yeah.
Another easy example, October Toys. And
I just got assaulted. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Somebody didn't want to wear shoes, and somebody paid for that price.
I ran over his foot with a chair yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got very bashful as soon as the microphone got in her face.
I've done that to myself many times. But yeah, that's actually why I'm really hoping I get to talk to Aaron Archer tomorrow. Because I want him to expand on his thoughts about a world of, you know, independent groups operating on their own, doing their own thing.
Well, that's where I got excited with the chunk of people that were sitting next to me, because we started talking about the 3D printer and kind of the maker culture that started to really get going. And I mean, could you imagine... You know, well, because we talked about it, because what was it, the AllSpark copyright that happened a while back, and seeing, like, you know, Hasbro talking about 3D printers, and could you imagine, like, you just have to make sure that you have all the cartridges of colors or whatever, and then you pay $5 to get the one-time print op and print your thing, or, oh no, I lost that G1 gun, well, somebody's gone in and scanned everything. You can print yourself out that scamper pistol, and 10 minutes later, you've got a replacement piece.
Well, what I'm thinking of is more along the lines of, you take a look at just today, yesterday, Boss Fight Studios' Vitruvian Hacks Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Not only finished, it finished after unlocking every single stretch goal.
Oh, wow.
It finished at nearly $500,000.
Oh, dang. I hadn't been tracking it that closely.
So, yeah, $445,000 some, I believe. And so they, like, I look at things like that, Boss Fight leading the way to a degree with non-PVC Kickstarter things, and I look at, you know, your unofficial toys coming from independent robot groups, and
don't know. I think, like, right now we're in a very IP minefields scenario.
Yeah.
But eventually down the road, when it doesn't have to all be about Transformers, then I think it's going to be a very interesting state of affairs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we definitely started to see some of that drift. Well, like, you know, you said with Quantron, change a few colors and a line, and it's not really even recognizable as Computron.
In my opinion, anyway.
And, yeah, well, yeah. I agree with you. I think that if they can show that, you know, we can still do this really cool stuff and not have to glom on and finally make that good break, it'll be good for everybody.
Because, like, the Aaron Archer angle going by his Tumblr post, which we've talked about before, is one I entirely agree with. And in terms of getting there, you got to look at it from these companies' angle. And I had some conversations the other night with several folks.
Yeah.
And it's a case of the market right now is absolutely ready to buy something that infringes on the Transformers IP.
Yeah.
That same market shrinks exponentially the moment that the Transformers IP isn't involved,
right,
no matter who the designer is. It's a sad state of affairs. It needs to change. And that doesn't mean Transformers IP infringement has to stop necessarily, but it means that it's a ceiling that's preventing a lot of these designers from being creative. You look at the Make Toys City Bought Scorponok thing, right? Which is barely Scorponok.
Right.
It's a gigantic scorpion-themed robot that turns into a refinery and a scorpion. And you look at that, you can see a designer who doesn't just want to make Scorponok.
Right.
And is trying to do as much as that designer can do while inside the loose barriers of being told you also have to make Scorponok.
Right, right. There was so much about that somebody said it looked monstrous.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked so well. The sheer size of it. I mean, the fact that it is Scorponok, it has all the cues for it to be Scorponok. But if... I think it's something where if you weren't looking at it to be Scorponok, you might not see Scorponok until you saw the crazy Decepticon head at the tip of the tail, which I'll be surprised personally if it makes it all the way like that.
Me too.
Because of said IP, that's one of those things that goes just across that line.
There is a feature, though, that I think takes that Scorponok to another level of wanting to be something else, is that the claws are gauntlets that can mount on the shoulders, and there are actual arms and hands underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
That means this thing, if you take those gauntlets off and just put him in a drawer, he's no longer Scorponok.
Yeah. He's just big, crazy dude with slightly T-Rex arms.
In gray prototype, anyway. Like, you know, once he's colored, it's going to be a different story.
Yeah.
But there's a, I don't know, there's an active sound in that echo chamber of, we want to do what we want to do, and we're starting to feel like you just want us to make Transformers and nothing else.
Yeah.
And I think that is... That's a detriment to the nature of them being independent groups. It's more a case, like, it's less them being independent, more them being contracted by the buyers to make them Transformers.
Yeah. Ultimately, you still have to sell things, or else they're just really big one-off customs.
Exactly, and then the sadness of the marketplace, I don't think reflects on anyone who is a buyer, because we all have our own taste.
Yeah,
it's just, I hope that in time, this is a marketplace that currently is made up 99% of Transformers fans. I think that's fine. We need to inject other fans of Mecha
in there. Or at least let the people that are Transformers fans see that they can be fans of this without it being Transformers.
Or, like, you don't have to ditch being a Transformers fan.
Right.
You can all stay in there. We need to have people looking at it.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is, like, you don't have to force identify as that Transformers part. It can be like, I'm a fan of this.
Yeah.
Regardless of it being a Transformer.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, the same way that I'm a fan of Lego and Transformer, those two things can be separate. The crossover can be great sometimes, but it doesn't have to be the same. So if somebody could just be a fan of these shape-changing robots and don't have to have familiar colors or flavors to it the same way, you know, kind of the same joy of a new thing when you were a kid rather than going back and hitting the same notes as they have over the last 30 years because, hey, a big red truck robot sure does sell.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there was a big red truck robot in the panel of products coming from non-Hasbro entities, which that and the combiner fatigue, I think it's all indicative of, you know how we all say, why do they keep making Optimus, Megatron, Bumblebee, Starscream? That's that same thing in a smaller scale happens with these groups too.
Yeah.
Where it's like, where's your combiner?
Yeah.
Where's your comic book character I want?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have your chops until you have like two of the three trifecta.
Yeah. And also, where's your silhouette, you know? Anyway, that panel aside.
Well, maybe that is something that Hasbro's taken from the third parties, is the silhouette reveal.
Those were referred to as shadows by Mark Weber.
Shadows, so, not silhouettes. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's a different thing.
I'll retract my statement then,
Thank
sir.
You. You didn't catch any other panels, though?
No, I didn't. I did dealer room stuff, and we went out and away for lunch. We went to a Harvey's for lunch.
Okay.
It had been since my first TFCon since I'd had Harvey's, so...
Man.
Yeah.
Well, I bopped in on the script reading like during the auditions, which I was going to do because I'd won a thing to get unlimited auditions.
No.
I don't even know what that means because unlimited says I could just keep re-auditioning until they let me have a part. But
I think it was probably because they limited it per character a few years back.
But the word unlimited is a loaded word.
They'll just stand there. No, this is the one I'm keep. What do you need? Just keep changing up the the voice.
We got a China don't care over here.
Yeah.
Ryan
Davis was taken too soon.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, poured on the right on the floor. Great. So I caught a bit of it because I had to go in there. I had to go in during the script reading to get a battery I'd left plugged in the wall. In
okay.
And I forgot. So one of the voice actors up there, like, is Gary Chalk and Greg Berger doing their thing. And there's a third voice actor who's just doing this kind of badass voice, you know, like throaty badass voice. I'm like, who is that? Listening, is like, oh, it's Neil Kaplan.
Oh yeah, he exists.
And he's doing some kind of the Optimus Prime voice, but it's way more depth chargey, way more Wheeljack from Primey.
Okay.
Because I think that the thing he did to constrict his throat to keep talking like this all the time probably is way too hard to do now.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I didn't stay for the whole thing because you guys were in here,
yeah,
and I said I'd be there in 10 minutes. It probably had been about 30 by that point. So.
It's all right.
I didn't catch any other panels, though.
No, I didn't either. What were the panels today?
Well, the first panel was...
I'm just grabbing your badge here.
Meet the man named Mr. Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that was the one I was joking about turning into the Nerf War. But it was also in the beginning of the dealer room, so...
Well, I know that there were people in there. I confirmed it.
Yeah.
And I know there's a recording of it out there. I confirmed it. I don't know if I'll get to see it. But I want to know if that was an interesting panel for people. Hang on a sec. Did any of you see the Mr. Optimus Prime panel?
No.
Okay. Anyway, next
so
panel was...
So, the much-beloved guest, Mr. Optimus Prime.
Wow. There was a Transformers costume contest.
Costume contest, anybody? Anybody got a costume? How was it?
It was pretty cool. There were a lot of, like, human... eyes Transformers and also like just big old Transformers suit, and I feel they got the same kind of representation, and the Prowl costume was really radical and it deserved to win. It was radical.
Yeah. Was it radical?
It was totally radical.
Oh, it was like
the all right.
Lights, did it have sirens?
Yeah, it had both, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a win.
It did not transform.
I
have somebody looking like they're trying to talk over here.
I'm having conversations.
As soon as the microphone went that way, I saw a flinch. It's okay. It doesn't attack.
We can just get like a...
I'm not a human former. I'm a suit former.
A suit former. Hoopla. Suit former, not
suit
human former.
Oh. Knockout.
Sorry. I apologize. I don't know the nomenclature well.
Well, just from that end of the table, you just give me a yes or no. How was the costume contest? Was it any good?
Oh, it was awesome. There was some amazing work there. I think Prowl was definitely amazing with all the flashing lights and the technology he put into it. And then I think also the shockwaves were quite good. I loved
all right.
them. They were wonderful.
I did see that Prime shockwave looking through, and it was a moment of like, whoa, wow, impressive. That was all out.
The glowing optic was really eerie. Like, it was just scanning all the audience, and it was just like the beacon. Like, it was scary, but also awesome.
I like how Aaron is also, like, willingly throwing himself across the table to get a mic to Rachel Cook.
The
might have heard
things
the
I do for this podcast.
From Lockout 2014.
The bruises and blood.
And people taking photos of you while you were doing it.
Oh,
great.
Really? Those better show up on Twitter. No, better not. Or something, I don't know.
So after the costume contest, we had the customizing tutorial panel. Stu's not... Did any of you go to the customizer panel?
Customizing panel? Anybody? Did anybody mess up Stu's panel? No? Darn.
She was also costume.
Joseph.
Okay.
Sweet.
We've got Vortex, Den at the End, Sunstreaker.
We've got like half the table are people from the costume contest. Yeah.
They didn't realize there was going to be a podcast here when they sat down.
My apologies. Did any of you go to the customizing panel? Right after?
No, they don't care about stuff either.
Oh, this is the only... This is the only important question. Did the costume contest run over into the customizing panel's time? Damn it. Okay, well, I'll sort it out later.
How are we going to convince Stu to come up on stage in Loom so that he can become an enforcer?
I don't know. We have to figure out if he has another panel of some kind.
Just trip him or something in the hallway. You see him, just
take him out. I should have just fake bid on the War for Cybertron Predaking or something.
Yeah.
And then just left.
Yeah, man, that's no good. Who was in charge of that? He looks like he dropped
the ball. Underbid, that poor Predaking.
Yeah, so much stuff.
Viciously underbid.
So much stuff at the auction went
except for the dumb mystery box that I went for, which got bid up.
Yeah, that was full of nothing but hope and lies.
Yeah.
Mostly lies.
The mystery box was full of...
feces. In plastic form.
I got a Dark Energon Wheeljack that looks like Slicer, and I'm real happy about that. I got a Stickfus that I'm real happy about. I got a Slinky that I'm real happy about. I got an Armada Starscream seal that I sold to someone for $10, so I profited off of the charity of sick children. I can't remember what else was in there.
Wild Bill?
There's a G.I. Joe. There's a Mint on Card Wild Bill. If anyone wants to buy him for $4, he's up in my room. That's about it. So after Stu's panel, we had the Q&A with Sue Blue and Greg Berger.
I have no idea how that went.
I don't know if Sue Blue ended up Skyping in or not. That was during the silent auction,
charity auction. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know how the Q&A with the voice actors went.
Is anybody at the voice actors Q&A?
No.
No. Wow. You got. Why are you doing back here?
What do you even pay for? What do you?
The pool room.
And you.
Alcohol.
I guess.
You are an internet sensation.
Yeah. If you're here for you should be going to the panels for us.
Yeah, how are we supposed to get reports if we don't have volunteer amateur enthusiast journal medias? I didn't use the word journalist.
Unpaid intern.
Okay, first of all, professional writer, journalist, hoopla.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a news staff member at TFW.
Which one of you
nothing.
Is a newsie?
Don't know.
What about your long-standing career at Only SP?
All right, look. When someone bitches... That no.
I like. Can't make enemies. I like how I could actually hear the quotes around long-standing, even though there was no pause.
You have to match Metacritic scores. You can't make enemies. No five. Nine.
Your long-standing career. All right. Well, no one went to the voice actor Q&As. We did talk about Aaron Archer's Q&A. That brings us pretty much up to...
Did anyone go to the third-party panel?
Oh,
yeah, that...
Are we talking third-party panel?
Did anyone go to the
what?
Frozen party?
No.
I know about that already.
Yeah. No Frozen
some
party.
Fancy.
Oh, you did?
Frozen. You went?
Who goes to a Frozen party?
I was at the Frozen party.
Why?
Because I wanted to watch Silas... At the Frozen party, Silas fully mimed every move of Elsa during the Let It Go song.
Did you ask him if he had Columpio?
For 3 minutes. And if Columpio sold out.
No, he has a Columpio. I saw it.
Sold out.
No, he has one.
But it's sold out.
So it's a Frozen party.
Yeah.
Why?
I was under the impression the Frozen part referred to the cake. Like it was going to be an ice cream cake.
No,
and then I got there and it was a cake from the movie Frozen.
It was Disney's Frozen. And it was a chocolate cake. Because in the movie, they both love chocolate cake. Both sisters in Frozen.
Apparently they're very high in demand.
It was magnificent. I swear, Silas Zed.
Oh, that's something else I missed. Was the Cybertronian spree?
I watched some of that too.
I really wanted to see their RC do Instruments of Destruction. She's a badass.
The RC all of them, costumes are great, and they were very competent at playing instruments. And for a band that's playing Transformers-themed music at a Transformers convention
well-dressed
in the basement
in
of a hotel, well-dressed in costumes, they did pretty all right.
Did they do RC vocalizing Instruments of Destruction? Were you there for that?
I left after Dare started.
Damn it. What do we not pay you for to be our roving independent journal?
You didn't even water slide.
So what were you doing all day,
Chris?
Because
no one was water sliding.
Well, basically,
many people
asleep,
were water sliding, and then you bailed.
As
we have two cross discussions into the Zooms.
The bed.
Yeah.
How was the bed's TF gone?
Not bad. My back feels better, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't put a patch on all day.
Okay, because I just bumped you on the shoulder there, and I got really scared.
Other
for a
shoulder.
Second.
Don't
oh,
worry.
Thank God.
No, what did I do? I slept until about 11, and then I went to the dealer room to deal with all my dealer room stuff, and then I went to try to set up interviews as best I could. I went to panels from Aaron Archer through just before voice acting. So Aaron Archer and Third Party, and then I went to interview a guy. And then I went upstairs and tried to make sure I still had that footage.
Did you book an interview with Gary Chalk?
I didn't catch any of the voice actors. I'm going to hopefully
so
do that tomorrow.
What are we paying you for?
You're paying me to manage all of you, and well, you're all doing a pretty bad job of being managed. Right?
The camera's not picking up the nodding, but I rest assured.
Yeah, you get it. You know where I'm coming from. I know how to delegate. What time is it? Is the kitchen closed yet? All right. I still got time. My mom left me a text message.
Oh.
She said, get Quaker royalties.
Okay.
Because of all your granola bars.
Yeah. Why didn't you secure those?
I'm indie, okay? I'm indie. Anyway, coming up tomorrow, what have we got? We've got panels. We've got like the non-Transformer versions of the Transformer panels.
Okay.
So we've got everyone in another panel. We've got voice acting 101 with the voice actors. We've got creating worlds with Aaron Archer. So I might pop in on one or two of those if they don't clash with me getting to interview people. Because I've come to the decision that I am prioritizing interviews over like almost everything now.
Yeah.
And I feel okay with that.
Yeah.
It's an epiphany I had this year, which is that getting an interview is as good to me as getting a like a cool toy in the dealer room.
Yeah. Well, and it also comes down to you get that toy hit so often, and eventually it's just like, okay, more plastic.
Yeah, now it's time for interview hits.
Or panels. It's like, okay, we've been to the basically same panel how many times? Okay. Now you got to chase after that new high. That's interviews.
Exactly.
And you're not relying on Seth.
That too. I don't need him anymore. He's just been made redundant. No, yes.
Well, maybe just... No.
Why are you shouting at me from across the table?
I don't know. It's a loud bar. Team Rocket went back to you. You were the first time.
That was garbage. You literally got caught cheating. Not you.
So the one time...
Apparently there's impropriety at Faction Feud.
The one time I'm not there to make sure the people supposed to lose... They win?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, they won.
You fucking sabotage fail, baby.
Wait, you idiots won?
Yeah, they won.
We won.
Mike.
We won.
Mike.
Yes.
They're not supposed to win.
This was not important. You were supposed to keep up kayfabe.
They won fair and square.
Wait,
mostly.
The last round was three-way.
A three-way last round.
Three teams all at once.
You're not... We're going to deal with this later. But they're not supposed to win. It's in the rules. You know what? Because you're the ones who took the system down then, aren't you?
Yeah. It was all part of that plan.
Just behind the stage,
and
crossing wires.
I don't know if you can all hear me shaking my head left and right.
It's an impressive head shake, sir.
180 degrees of no.
Maybe 160.
Come on,
no. I'm a neck person.
Yeah, the shoulder thing. I understand.
Abominatus.
Anyway.
No, it's not abominatus. Abominatus.
Abominaticus.
They're getting feisty.
That question was there last year.
Yes, we got them in the first round. The first two questions were Abominatus and Computer.
Can we somehow score those questions?
Evangelist, please never miss
the Computer. Oh my god! It was worse than that. Okay, the first guy they got doing it did not know how Family Feud worked. So he just kept
doing it.
The voice of God was still there, though.
So apparently the moment I'm not doing Faction Feud, everything detonates. Well, you know what? This is what happens when I don't bring a cape.
Yeah. Oh, well. They should know.
Yeah.
And hey, we're getting recording done instead of Faction Feud.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. You know, you do fist bump, fist bump.
Fist bump,
yeah.
Like that. Anyway, thank you. So, you're from Pre-Order 66.
Yes, sir.
No, it's this.
That's all. No. How has the convention been for a high-end toy podcast?
Amazing.
Amazing.
As it always is.
All right.
TFCon is always amazing. No, it's been a lot of fun.
All right.
I bought something. I bought a high-end thing.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I've wanted it for a long time.
All right.
I bought a G14 Max reissue.
Encore.
Encore.
Nomenclature.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to get, like, blasted on the boards for this.
My first reaction was, how are you going to fit that in your luggage? But then I realized...
We drove, so I just... Yeah. I'm going to ride on top of it, takes my seat.
I was going to say...
So that's why you didn't water slide, to keep the Mohawk intact. Yeah. Help with aerodynamics.
Yep.
Your car's just going to take off while you're...
When I tilt, left and right.
Yeah.
I do want to say, Joe Ichabod is rocking a pretty decent Mohawk.
Much better, and it becomes like the lifestyle of the Mohawk. I bet as it stands right now, you can deal with normal life much bigger, and it's like the guy that spends 3 hours a day manicuring it and making sure that no errant hairs get slightly longer than the others.
Oh, no, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I just like to stand up and be a Mohawk. It doesn't have to be like...
Where's D-Fuzz?
He's at the Frozen Room Party. The Jack Sack and the Crasis, I believe, are in their respective rooms getting the drunk.
What, alone?
Probably.
Why isn't anybody drinking with me alone?
I don't know. I don't know where Crasis is.
Does all this happen when I miss hosting the faction?
Yes.
Crasis and the Jack Sack go to separate rooms and just start drinking alone?
I think they're together in Jack Sack's room drinking. I don't
know. Oh, that's
slightly
different.
I thought you meant they went to separate rooms.
No. He wasn't there when I was there.
Okay.
Are you guys allowed swearing at the bar recordings?
Pardon?
You guys allowed swearing like fuck on bar recordings.
Well, I guess now we do. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
So since this is the bar,
deliver some Jared love to Jared for me, would you?
Wow.
I thought that would work.
Jared Love has been delivered.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you know what? I'll just rip the cable out, this thing crashes, and it's all gone.
No!
It'll explode in my hands, and the whole bar will burn down. Because there's alcohol everywhere.
I can pick up anything.
Oh no, the code of it, it couldn't hear you just now, but it can hear me really well. It's got a bubble.
Okay, cool.
So.
You're outside of that bubble, most likely.
You over there sound kind of like.
How big is the bubble?
Is that this big? It's directional, I can pick it up.
Hi!
Hi there, what do you want?
Sorry about
it. No, I said, what do you want?
What do I want? I don't know what I want.
World peace, maybe? Maybe someone could stop being so selfish?
No, I'm not a big fan of that.
Damn it! Alright, well, that was Suribot, who is not for...
Not for world peace.
Not for world peace.
Totally against
not for fact. World peace.
Well...
He's not?
What?
Suribot.
Hey,
more invitations going on
to someone.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, I don't know what else to talk about.
Yeah, I'm running out of topics.
What do you
as well.
Think? Logo flip?
Sure.
All right. Da, 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 da. I have a sound clip I can play for this.
I just wanted to do it.
This is where the live recording panel happened. You've probably heard it already. And if you haven't, you should go back and do that now. In the meantime, let's see what happened afterwards.
Secret podcast, go.
It's not secret when you have the microphone.
Well, if you're shouting about it, it's...
I was going to eat it.
Don't do a part. Don't do anything. Don't let anyone know. Hey, your name's Secret Code, right?
Yes.
We're doing a secret podcast.
Oh, man. Great. Hi. How are you?
Pretty good.
That is a microphone.
No, it's not.
No, it's his penis.
Oh, God.
You're making this worse than it has to be.
He's a furry. He's a furry. So,
let's talk about Sailor Jupiter.
Oh, my God.
That's left wrong.
He's going to hit Joe. And then, like, one girl stepped out and was like,
the blue off people running
around. I'm gonna hit the blue off of
Let's talk about Sailor Jupiter.
Sailor Jupiter. You know what? Sailor Jupiter's got a church.
Yeah.
She's the worst Sailor Scout.
What are we gonna do about Tekken 7?
I don't know, man. It's Tekken.
I'm just trying to prove a point here that I can record a podcast without people coming over trying to be part of a podcast.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, you're proving it because I want to leave.
Yeah, right?
Are you Vangelis? Oh, my God.
No, he's not Vangelis. Chris, fucking
Chris, come here. Other Chris, come here.
Drop Chris. Oh, fuck.
Hey, get him over. He's not coming.
This is all dead air. All
right. Logo flip. So, anyway, quick message to Jared. Immunizing? Probably not.
Yeah, no.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Boston Pizza.
Fuck those guys.
No, there are good ones.
Okay.
They're all in BC, but there are good ones. Even some of them suck. But there is a good one I go to in Victoria.
Yeah. So, I mean, my normal thing of not having profanity, and I let off with fuck those guys. The first word of this session was a profanity for me, and I try and keep it clean for the kids.
Yeah, clearly you're just drunk out of your mind.
No, one drink. No, so...
Yeah, no!
So, the addendum story to TFCon. We thought we were done. We closed out the show with our panel.
No, you don't know. I recorded a secret podcast back there.
Oh. What?
Well, it was me saying secret podcast and Silas screaming he's recording a podcast for about 20 seconds. And
so you had a title flip and then a title flip.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we decided that we would go for relatively quick but better food than just McDonald's or something. And the idea was brought up for Boston Pizza. It's like a 3-minute drive away.
I always agree to Boston Pizza because I usually have an okay time there.
And so we get seated, and it was probably, it took a little bit for the waitress to come around and take our drink orders.
Happens.
And then she came back, and as I was sitting next to Chris McGinn from Australia, and she handed out the drinks, and he's like, can we go ahead and order? And she says no and walks off. That should have been the first sign.
Now, this is something I never heard over on my end of the table where I'm having an elated discussion about how happy I am.
I had thought that maybe it was no, I don't have my order pad on me because I just came over with 8 drinks on a platter. So I didn't think a whole lot about it. And we did the same thing. We were still sitting there talking and everything and starting to get hungry. And we're like looking around and Ken had killed his drink. And it's like, well, now I need another one, and we haven't even ordered our food yet, at which point I go, yeah, we haven't. I look down at my phone, and I see that it's about 8:40, 8:45.
We got in there around 8.
And we got in there about 8:10.
8:10, oh.
I remember because the clock on the CRV said 8:08. Palindrome number. Stuck in the head for whatever reason. So then Alfie gets up and is like, okay, I'm going to go talk to the woman that seated us, see if we can, get some communication going on. And she ended up finding a manager. And she had the manager kick some butts or whatever. So then the lady comes over and starts taking orders. And then...
it has this amazing episode that I halfway missed, which is better for you to describe, where she didn't believe you that a menu item was on the menu.
Yeah, it was, she comes over and she says, she asks you to start stacking the menus instead of taking them herself.
Which was weird.
So you start grabbing menus from us as we're ordering, and you order your...
A spaghetti thing.
Your volcano dough.
No, I didn't order that. I just ordered spaghetti. I don't order dessert till I've eaten.
And then Sage ordered his whatever.
Yeah, my entire pizza from me.
And so I tried to order like a butter chicken small personal pizza, and she looks at me like, I just ordered the moon destroyed or something, And she's like, I don't think we have that. And so I grab the menu from Chris, and I flip open the page and I point at the picture of it on the menu. And she's like, oh, okay, a thin crust. All right, and I go to hand the menu back to Chris, and I guess things happen.
At this point, I just fumble the menu. It hits my drink, which pitches forward and all over the Jeff's pants.
So now I'm soaked everything. In alcohol.
Yeah. And her reaction to that was quite magical.
Yeah, she just stood there and stared at my pants for like a good 30 seconds. Like, yeah, dumb waitresses.
The class over on that.
That's my type.
And the rough thing is we hadn't even been handed, like a lot of those places will hand you the silverware wrap.
Yeah.
So you have your fork, your knife, and a napkin wrapped around it. If it had been a case like that, I mean, I did the thing where normally when I get one of those, I put the napkin on my lap, and I, like, reached and grabbed.
Yeah, I did, too.
It was like,
so you did, too.
I don't have like, anything to do this. She's just staring there, not even, like, mouth agape, like, oh, my gosh, what just happened, and in shock. Just
okay,
like,
I grabbed my pants, and I grabbed the front of the table, because those are usually where I assume something is. I was like, what am I doing? What?
And we should clarify, sort of like at this point in the story, when we had been seated, the restaurant's like fucking empty.
Yeah.
Well, no. Apparently, there were 500 people over in a spot we couldn't see.
Well, no. When we walked in, the greeter asked, "Do you want to sit in the restaurant or the bar?" And I'm like, "Well, which should be better right now?" And she says, "Well, we just got a group of 25 on the restaurant side." I'm like, okay, so would the bar be better? And, oh, yeah, okay.
Apparently, she's the only waitress in a 500-mile radius who can handle this.
Right. So at that point, I was just like, okay, we're done. I just made the executive decision. It's been 45 minutes since we walked in here. We should have been fed and out the door already. You know, there was talk of people still wanting to do the water slide, and we were coming up on 9 o'clock at that point, and the water slide closes at 10. So it was just like, screw this. I can see the Tim Horton Wendy's. Let's just go do that. And at that point, Kristen hops up, talks to the manager a second time, and is like, look, we're bouncing. We're out of here. This is totally unacceptable.
This is obscene.
And he gives a line about how he'd comp us the drinks, but that's not legal in this province. And so we're just like, whatever, we just want to get out of here. And then the waitress starts kicking a line about how she's having to cover the bar and the patio and everybody in here, and the bar was 2 people, the patio was maybe 6 people,
and
then
the
table
at the bar
of 8
serving drinks.
No, that was our waitress.
No, there was another woman.
Oh, was there
another
woman?
The second one who came out after all our kerfuffles started.
Yeah,
it was probably the manager going, "Where the heck is everybody?"
Yeah, because when I went and talked to the manager, there was 3 or 4 servers on the other side of the restaurant.
Really?
That just had the 25 and maybe one other in the back.
Yeah.
But like the thing is with like a party of 25, you're getting a bunch of pizzas. Like you don't have this huge intricate order.
Yeah, when you have a party of 25, not just a party of 25, but like a softball party. They were all still
enough
in uniforms.
People.
The ones who broke the elevators, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We're down to one elevator.
They're responsible for everything.
They're why TFCon is horrible this
God
year.
Damn it.
It is not.
It's always the people who aren't the Transformers fans who ruin the Transformers convention venues.
They lost
Proven.
Stan's bag.
What?
They lost Stan's
they
bag.
They lost Stan's bag.
They lost Stan's bag. Yeah, thanks, softball players, for filling up the pool and losing Stan's bag
he
and making...
He cracked with a bat and went sailing off the conveyor belt. And...
All the way over to LaGuardia. Also, thanks for making the sun go rocketing past the window. I still like that line. That was really good.
So like as we're paying for our drinks, she starts giving me crap about, "Oh, I didn't know you guys were in a hurry." Like, is 45 minutes like a hurry?
We're to sit there and reflect on our lives.
I could see if she had walked up and we had pushed her off.
Right.
Okay. But there was like a solid 5 minutes where everybody on one side of the table was just intently staring and everybody on the other side of the table was turned around in their chair. Intently staring, and she would make like the furtive corner of the eye contact and then like scurry over to the other POS terminal, sit there and tap at it for a little bit.
I feel like it's
pop up and then like go back to the other one. And she, as we were leaving, she said, "Well, I've got all this." And then we also had like the internet's down and the terminals aren't working. And at which point it seems more like then you grab a pad of paper, you write things down and you throw it at the cook. So you don't rely on your POS terminal. You have your fallback plans.
I feel like it's also important to note that literally all of us were staring at her.
Yeah.
Like, 12 eyeballs on this woman I want to say about 10 minutes.
There were 8 people, so that would be 16.
Were there 8 people?
Yeah.
Two bars.
Oh, shit.
She had 4.
Completely blind to the plight of the Australians.
No,
so then that makes it even worse.
And what I loved was the fact that when the second time I talked to the manager, he's like, okay, let me go and actually walk into the room. And he was actually staring her down the entire time as she was trying to fuddle her way through this. So I may have cost someone their job, but she wasn't doing it anyway, so I don't feel too bad.
It's the first time I've never tipped.
Yeah, I tipped because my bill was $6.77, and I didn't want to wait to have 25 cents counted
to
me.
Yeah, that was... Our bill was like $9.91, and I had a 5, and I got a 5 from Chris just so I wouldn't have to use a card or break a 20. It was just like, you get 9 cents. The fact that you're getting 9 cents should be a clue that maybe, you know...
Well, that shouldn't be the clue. The clue should be that we all got up and left halfway through ordering the food.
That
I mean,
too.
Like, that's...
And the fact that the manager's actually staring you down.
I mean, I think really the one there's only one thing that should be noticed is that we all got up and left halfway through ordering the food. I mean, there's no mixed messages there.
Yeah, Aaron's just like, okay, we're all leaving. Like, our side
and
of the table.
And the thing is, when I said that, nobody was like, well, really? It was like, yep.
Well, here's my reaction. You said that I was like, in my head, I'm like, really? And I look at everyone else getting up, and I'm like, all right, I must have missed something. So yeah, sure, let's get out of here.
I thought it was a joke at first. But
no,
like,
no,
was, you had the right idea.
Yeah,
because our side of the table, the three of us are having some kind of mirthful discussion about nothing, and then we were coming up with all kinds of great reasons
and
as to
have... Meanwhile, the other, like...
Five
people, thank you.
Math is fun!
I'm in humanities. We don't do math.
Game journalists can't add.
Yeah.
Nine.
The other side of the table... I missed that part entirely.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
We're all sober, I want to assure you, Mom.
Why is she listening to this?
The other side of the table, I assume, is just growing angrier and angrier by the second.
Yeah, whereas the three of us are all having this, like, even once we realize we've been here for an hour, which I had not noticed,
we're all like,
oh, we must be in the phantom zone. I can't pick up my phone. It's fused to the table and my hand
we're
is passing through
it. Jokes about the Langoliers and chair stores, you know?
Like Stephen King direct to TV movies, and then everyone else seething.
That was great when it's like, welcome to the chair store. We're going to give you books full of pictures of food. Here, have a drink too. Goodbye.
Forever.
Oh, you want food? Here, let me guide the bumbly one into knocking his drink over onto the other one.
Oh yeah, it was all the hand of the Illuminati going on there.
That's right.
But no, then we just decided to trudge across the parking lot in our exodus.
And man, let me tell you what makes a double baconator taste really good is being annoyed and then being happy.
And the cap to this story is as we're walking out of the Boston Pizza, the other TFCon party is getting out of like the Firkin.
Next door.
And they're like, we had a great dinner. That place is amazing. You guys should be there.
Not even rubbing it in our face. They didn't even know about our experience.
It was so serendipitous that like GM Fan was already prepared with like an asshole statement that I assumed Aaron had already been tweeting about it.
No, I was trying to, but it eventually went out like when I grabbed the Tim Hortons Wi-Fi because their Wi-Fi wasn't connecting. Honestly, their internet was down. But it was like, it'd be nice if we got service at some point. And then it was Stan replied, yeah, you should come to the Firkin. And then we walk outside. I'm like, oh, and there's the crowd. All right, screw you guys.
Well, they didn't get good baconators. They had, like, expensive Irish food or something. So...
$10
Expensive Irish food. $10 For $10, I got a double baconator and a bunch of salty fries and a big-ass Coke Zero.
It took us 30 seconds.
You have no idea how many endorphins fired off in my head at the same time. I was practically, like, orgasming inside my brain.
So, like, of course Aaron, because Aaron is describing this story almost in complete detail to the Wendy's...
Who looks terrified?
It was just a point of frustration. I had so much of this bile built up.
And she looks so scared that when I go up afterwards, I feel I have to do something to break the mood. So I said, hi, what's up? We all just escaped from the Boston Pizza. We've been trapped there since we were children. And we've never seen food before. So we'd like to order some food.
Did you just say, like, I too am a child of the Boston. We were children once.
I wonder what it must have been like for those guys to have just like a bunch of eight nerds, I got it right this time, a bunch of nerds just like come in and start whining.
I hope to Christ we don't read as nerds on first sight.
No, I was thinking about
that. Until they see the Titanfall shirt.
That I was
something like, to be said for dressing well.
Well, I was like, are we being like profiled as a bunch of TFCon people or something by some like lunatic? But I was like, no, we can't possibly, because none of it, like, there's too many other things sitting at the table in terms of our overall appearance.
Yeah.
And also, if they're going to, like, stop serving a bunch of people because they came from the convention next door, then they can take their fist and extend a thumb into a thumbs up position. Then they can put that fist on the chair firmly where it's pressed down. Then they can kind of arch backwards and kind of widen their asshole and then sit down on their thumb and twist a bunch until blood comes out. Which is my way of saying
thumbs
that
thumbs are that sharp. What are you talking about?
You do it hard enough.
A lot.
Over and
in
over
fact,
again.
In fact, like if I think about it, would the thumb even like really breach the?
If you do it right, if you do it the way I described, then yes.
Don't trim the nails.
And if you do it wrong and you break your thumb,
it's a habit.
If you break your thumb doing it wrong, then you really had it coming, and also you're a jerk. If you can't sit on your thumb properly, then I don't know what to think of you. Hi, what's up?
You know there isn't Boston pizza in America.
I had no idea what you guys were talking about.
You guys also don't have New York fries.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah,
because
New York isn't known for their fries and Boston isn't known for their pizza.
Well, up here in Canada, we were pretty sure.
That's an obvious mistake.
Up here in Canada, we're all like, yeah, those New York French fry artists and auteurs, they must be some artisans of the craft.
You want to go down to Detroit Seafood or something?
I'd like some artisan-made New York fries, please, from New York.
Free-range New York fries?
I love Kentucky lobster.
I'll just adjust
That's actually called mud bugs. Come on.
Is it artisan?
They are free-range.
I'll just adjust my trilby.
Artisan
baconator. All these
baconator.
Lobsters went to art school.
Hey, I only have artisan baconators, all right? You take the baconator fruit, you squeeze it till it's ripe, you peel the skin off, and you put it on the bun. That's how it works.
I'm trying to be clever, and you're just so much funnier.
Canadian bacon fruit. All of you guys are like...
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
When it gets cold, it gets more ripe.
Yeah.
It just means it's got more punch.
Yeah, because the water freezes out of it.
Yeah, and you're left with the meat, meat of the fruit.
Yeah.
Baconator fruit. I grew one once. Never again.
Oh, the screams.
Well, you don't want to.
And then the church had to intervene.
You don't want to know what happens when you eat the skin of a baconator fruit. Like I didn't want so. Yeah, man.
That's how he got how he is today.
That's why I call my living room the kill room. So anyway, that's TFCon. How's that going for you guys?
Oh, we've got one trip each down Big Blue.
I got three.
What?
Yeah.
F off.
Hey,
are we saying F off now?
Get fricked.
Okay. You saw me. I inhaled that sandwich and then just booked up to the room.
Yeah. Well, I tried.
I had to savor my sandwich because I was an angry baconator and it tasted amazing.
No, the angry baconator is later in the year. I'm not joking. It's an actual thing they do.
Really?
Yep. And
no, I'm thinking of the angry whopper.
And in September, you have the beaver baconator, which is made from beavers.
Beaver fruit.
No, just have beavers. You, that's ever, stupid. What's a beaver
you,
fruit? What
have
are you
ever
about?
Actually eaten beaver before?
No, but I have had horse.
What?
Why?
I mean,
if you go to a restaurant, they're serving you horse. Why do you say no?
You leave if they're serving you horse. Isn't that the whole reason everyone
alligator?
Doesn't go to Subway's because they serve horse meat?
Buffalo
meatballs?
Is really good.
No,
not the city.
The reason they
do
don't
not
go
to
Subway
Buffalo.
Is because their bread is made out of yoga mats.
That's the other reason I was about to say. But that's why I like my meatball sub. I'm like, yeah, I can taste Mr. Red and I can do, you know, the power pose on the bun.
God.
Yeah, but no, there are some people...
What?
No GMOs.
No, I'm just trying to make a there wide, long face joke involving eating horse meat.
There
it's
some...
not coming.
Sorry. You are the
there's...
glue of this conversation.
There
so,
was...
a bad day at Boston Pizza leads to two things.
Sorry.
Discussions of horse meat and Surrey Bot literally dying over in a chair.
You better hoof it on out of here, Jared.
I keep trying to say words and I keep stepping on people.
Oh,
so
no,
sorry.
You said hoof.
You are
that's terrible.
Horse meat's not that bad. It's not that bad.
It's not.
But the desperation in which you're saying it's not that bad feels like it's a defense mechanism.
Ponies
well, I mean, when
horses.
You people find out you eat horse, you gotta be a little defensive.
Well, then don't eat horse!
There's a lot of people...
Don't you judge me?
People find out you have a kill room where you take people and tape them to the wall and cut their jugular.
It was a free-range horse. Well,
that's my way.
It's a lot of tape.
I like tape.
That's just strategic points, really.
No, it's a whole lot of tape.
Well, you're doing it wrong then.
They call me the...
They're going to track you by your tape usage.
They call me the Mississauga Cocoon Man.
Balance was based on a true story.
Who?
Balance was based on a true story.
What's balance? I don't know what that is. Legally, I don't know what balance is.
Hasn't it already gone through, like, film circuit stuff?
Legally, I don't know what balance is.
All right, there are a bunch of people in the United States, I have had conversations with them, who are very adamant that horse meat tastes amazing, and it's the only reason that we have cow meat is because cows are dumb and easy to domesticate, and horses are angry. Cows aren't dumb!
So I'm going to be serving horse meat at the premiere of
Hang
my
on, from the other house. End of the room, just one second, please repeat.
Cows are dumb.
Thank you. We got our input from the East.
Our Kentucky correspondent.
The South.
Kentucky correspondent, the secret code. Code.
He's just doing his mantra.
All right, well.
Let him be.
Yeah, if you want to see the premiere of my new movie Balance on YouTube.
I need to check and see if I got an email back from someone.
Okay.
It's my last bit of business.
All right, so then I'm
checking my email.
Don't go to Buffalo. So Americans driving into Canada, what? Don't go to Buffalo.
We almost went into Buffalo.
I'm warning you, don't go to Buffalo.
We dodged that bullet.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like, there's one good pizza place in Buffalo, but the rest of it is just, like, garbage. Just as a town, if you're in Buffalo, you fucked up. That's our motto. That's why I moved to Los Angeles. It's as far as I could get within the continental United States.
It is weird driving through Pennsylvania and New York and being, boy, I am glad I live in New Jersey and not here. That is a weird feeling.
Yeah, no.
Did you get your email?
I got my email.
This is still recording?
Yeah, of course.
Cool.
I'm probably outside of the bubble.
I used my telepathy to hit the switch that's still glowing red.
Oh. You know what's good? Video games.
Oh. All right. That's the end of TFCon.
Yeah. Good time.
Gonna choop stuff.
I can't believe you came to a Transformers convention about fucking Lego.
Hey, you know what? It was good deals last year, all right. And if you can get a good deal in,
I am.
And then you came to a Transformers convention looking for Lego, and they complained when there wasn't enough Lego.
And your chief complaint about the whole show was the lack of Lego after you bought 3 boxes of it.
And they completely bypassed that table right across from Sarah Stone that was just selling Lego.
They had a bin that was labeled Lego, but it was Mega Bloks Dragons. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I was trying to remember that one, and I knew it was the custom minifigs that are third party minifigures. And,
oh, that's third party now too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the same stuff that it was some of the same stuff that Ian was selling. It's not like it's their own designs. It's Lego only released this dude in the $100 set. So they get a bunch of other torsos and print them the same and then sell them for $15.
The nomenclature, by the way, is independent companies making unofficial, unlicensed items.
All right, that whole mouthful I'll say.
Independent.
Don't. If you try and chuggerts this thing, you're getting a nerf dart.
Oh, they added more to it?
Oh, you have no idea how. You have no idea what you just said. We don't say we don't discuss chuggers.
Do it look like Mel in here?
No, but it still is satisfying.
Okay. The moment of the con. What was everyone's con moment?
Well, mine's selfish. I was doing 2 panels and interviewing Aaron Archer in between. It's just that whole tidal wave of high.
Not seeing
positive.
Lego. Oh.
Not seeing Lego, so I can complain about it.
Positively.
No. Again, it's getting to spend time with people that are friends that we only get. Internet, Twitter, 140 message at a time, 140 character at a time, or interaction on the boards,
or talking
seeing
to be
this,
like
seeing this lovely
every
face
every other week for hours at a time. And... yeah,
I knew you guys did video during this podcast.
Oh yeah, those shirts, skins.
This is a place for men.
Shirts and skins, and shirts are disqualified.
Con moment.
Well, Aaron took mine. So I'm going to say going in Big Blue for the first time. This is the first time I've stayed through Sunday. And, you know, going in the pool, going in the hot tub, that was a lot of fun. Just relaxing and not having to worry about this man is trying to fleece me for $390 for a Hasbro MP10. $390. And he got really pissed when I told him about the reissue. Like, angry at me.
Like, he didn't know there was a reissue?
No, I had to tell him about this.
Well, that's...
That explains why he was trying to sell it for $390.
Yeah.
But you know, doing this too, hanging out with you guys, it's been a lot of fun.
Man, selling Transformers, I don't want to be a fan of them or anything. I just want to sell them.
The gentleman was monster.
Con moment.
This is my first TF Con.
Ooh.
Thursday night and Friday, I felt kind of like down and wasn't all of the social stuff. I felt like I was trying to horn in on other people's fun, and I was just super down about the whole experience. Saturday started off kind of like went through the dealer's room, didn't see much stuff. The script reading. Oh my god, the script reading was the most fun. I was dying the entire time. I was panicking because I was in some of the auditions, didn't get picked. The people who got picked instead of me were much better, including an 8-year-old child named Raiden. Actually, we met him again.
Rules of nature.
Yeah, no.
Jack.
He was pronouncing like Mortal Kombat, right? Raiden. But
should be Raiden.
Yeah. But
oh man, what if Paul Heyding was here? Oh my god. I would have paid for that.
But no, the script reading, there was a lot of energy. I just was super pumped and just walked out of that room feeling great about this. And I've been happy ever since with pretty much no downtime since then. I feel great about this whole thing.
Right on.
I just really want to see like this 8-year-old kid walking up to Paul Heyding, Paul Heyding just getting on one knee and going, Raiden.
No, he launches into the gibberish he does in the last third of the game in the big show. All right, Jared.
What?
Not from over there. Moment. Not from over there.
Ah, you make me get up?
Yeah.
Here's distant, echoey voice for like 5 minutes.
Table man, I'm talking to you, man. Hey, horse meat's fine.
It is. That's what I've been saying.
Cows are assholes. They deserve it.
Buffalo's awful.
Calm moment. Just everything, man. Hanging out. Dealer room's kind of in, but everything else is pretty good.
Con moment. Cows are assholes.
Yes. Cows are assholes. Cows
have
assholes.
We should start eating more horse.
Hey, man, have you ever had to put a rubber glove on up to your shoulder? It's not fun.
I don't want to know about more about that.
Hey, let's ask anyone about anything else.
Yes. Exactly. So how was that Darkspark game, Jared?
How about your best con?
This is my first con with Aaron and with a other partner that actually enjoys this. So this is actually quite fun for me this year to actually be able to be free and be myself. For the first time at a convention.
Not have to stop right as the con closes and go to a hotel that's 30 miles away to save $5 a night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
always get the connected hotel if you can. I didn't do that at BotCon and my shoulder exploded.
How was your shoulder?
Yeah, how is your... Yeah.
Feeling way better. I still get a spike now and then. I'm probably still going to be complaining in the morning. But I didn't have to put a patch on it at all. I took 2 ibuprofens in the morning and that was it.
Nice.
Good, so good. I'm just riding it out while like... Whatever I just did.
Look, I have use of both arms. Isn't this cool?
If you just did the pony dance.
What's a pony dance? No, actually, no. Don't tell me. I don't need to know. All I know is I just did it. You know what? We had a way better time here than a DashCon.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Someone.
Okay. The ball pit deflated after someone peed in it.
Someone.
Apparently someone from Paul Fortune
okay,
Ford, like
wait,
how do you even pee in a ball pit?
It's a kiddie pool!
With your no. genitals. Like what kind of math question is this?
People were leaving the ball pool like blotchy and covered in like rashes and stuff too, so.
And there was a BDSM panel with a live demonstration and people are apparently leaving with rashes and
the equipment was not wiped down, it was like entirely dirty.
Anyone who paid for the Welcome to Night Vale show and did not get to see it got a free extra hour in the ball pit.
I kept saying as this was happening.
TFCon!
Like the TFCon guys should go down there and rumble with them.
No, we'll
get rashes.
I want that to be my phrase now from now on.
Illinois.
Like, anytime I have to console somebody,
like 20 minutes from Ichabod, which I tell you a lot.
Like, oh, I'm sorry that he died, but would an extra hour in the ball pit help? Like, just, it wouldn't actually. Oh, your car? Oh, man, I'm so sorry about your car. I don't have any money, but would an extra hour in the ball pit help?
So, Pete Savage is going to have a ball pit at the next BotCon.
Pete Savage?
Pete Savage?
Brian Savage. I lost control
no,
of the
it's
Savages.
It's Pete Savage.
It merged.
It's finally happened. Savage Prime.
He's composite Savage. Split right down the
head
middle.
Savage forms the head.
Left side Brian Savage, right side Pete Sinclair.
One side jorts, one side jeans.
His son comes out.
She wears short shorts, I wear two pants.
I'm still wearing two pants.
His son is has a pretty badass name. Things could go well if Bakon continues on for another 30 years. His son's name is Chase Savage.
Wow.
Like, he needs to have lightning bolt mutton chops and, like, a bullwhip.
The head of the student council at my university was Lance Thunder.
And I'm like, so was he there for meteorology?
I mean, because that's the name that you got to go into meteorology.
That's a superhero name. That's great, though.
He was there to be the kind of guy who's the head of the student council.
If your name is Lance Thunder, what your whole purpose in life is to train your right arm to deliver a punch that can shake a room just so you can say you've entered the Thunder Zone.
No, your entire... If your name is Lance...
Welcome to the Thunderdome!
If your name is Lance Thunder, your entire purpose in life is to be the antagonist in an underdog narrative. Do you know what I mean?
In any young adult novel, you suddenly pop up. Oh, here's Lance Thunder.
Yeah, really.
Here's big Lance Thunder.
With the sweater wrapped around his neck and a woman under his arm. Getting out of this current convertible his dad bought for him.
This 15-year-old with a big cane.
Look at little Timmy there. We'll never make it. Unless he somehow discovers his inner strength. What are the chances of that?
I keep forgetting, so this is a really weird thing. For some reason, I keep forgetting the genre is called young adult. So I keep having to ask people, what are those books called, like the ones like Hunger Games and Twilight?
Garbage.
That always happens. I'm like, you know what I mean?
They're called teen.
Tween, though, I thought, right?
Tween, yeah, tween novels.
So what's a young adult?
Young adult, I guess. Is a serious name.
Teenagers.
Young adult is just, we want this to be taken seriously. It's young adult.
How would you want to be an adult at, like, age 13? That's...
Well, according to a lot of people, young adults, like, from 8 to 13, and then you go to tween to, like, 14 to...
How does young adult come from tween? I thought tween was, like...
So it's like you become an adult briefly, and then you give up and become a tween.
Okay.
And then...
you have that moment of seriousness. And that's why, like, always have little kids that are serious about dinosaurs or construction equipment, because, damn it, they're going to be serious about that. Then it's like, I need to be a kid.
This is a terrible reference point, but going off of the Halloween costumes that I helped sell last year, tween is 12 to 14. That is the box that we had them all in. The tween box.
Oh my god, that reminded me of something I forgot to tell anybody.
Awesome.
I think he's a listener too, but I won't name drop him if he doesn't want to be. But I met someone at BotCon who works in it's an industry. And it's the kind of industry that makes branded packs of party favors and equipment.
Ooh.
So you remember that review I tweeted a while ago? Heisenberg reviewing the Godzilla? He made that. This guy worked on that, the graphic design of that.
Ooh.
And I was like, that's a whole industry? He's like, yeah.
It has to be huge.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I was like, I want to know everything about your job.
Well, we take one image and we just plaster it on every single surface we can find.
Sometimes we'll invent surfaces just to put it on there.
Once I found out people do it, I was like, oh, now I've got to know.
Well, you just assume there's a robot somewhere? Like, yeah, it's like a gray
suit? It's like copy-paste. You drop this thing into a folder, it ends up on stuff.
It's like a gray goose scenario for merchandising.
There's just a website where, like, license holders dump their stuff and goes, okay, napkin, plate, party hat, balloon, bigger balloon.
It goes
produce, and just the whole factory is robots, and it just nobody ever sees it. There's no humans. Just someone's PayPal account is getting bigger.
You hit send on the email, and the factory just starts shaking as all the machines.
This is the best dark future I've ever heard.
But it starts up with a like dun 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 dun.
Can you imagine
like, with the gloved mechanical hands?
Brought to you by Google.
Welcome to the Thunder Zone.
Oh, man. God, all right, so con moment, I think, is the best. It was Malwave. Like, the entire con, leading up to the con, was, like, talk of, like, the Nerf escalation that was going to happen from next year. And people were walking around with guns in their pockets. People were, like, backpacks full of, like, Nerf bullets. People were just ready to go. Like, it was going to be, like, a Derringer kind of, like, standoff moment in the middle of the WTF panel where everyone stood up all at once and just pointed guns at each other.
I didn't notice. That's just what it's like. I didn't notice. That's just what it's like in America.
Well, that's why.
Man!
But that didn't happen, though, right? Or did I miss
it? Like, there's this moment where, like, we needed Malwave to come up on the stage to tell us the story about there was a dealer room kerfuffle, borderline fight thing. And Malwave is, like, freaking terrified. He's getting up there, he's shaking, like, every slightest noise is making him jump, and he's, like, screaming.
Because people, like, well, including me, have been shooting him all week.
He's assuming, like, this entire thing is a setup.
To just light him up. Well, it doesn't help that Stu is...
They're just foaming him up.
So, you know, the weirdest thing is, when I said, Mal, come up here, that did not even cross my mind, and as he was getting up, I was like, oh, what did I just do?
And, like, it looked like you said, Mal, wave your noose is waiting. He was just shaking, and he pulls out this rough cut, which is kind of like a sawed-off shotgun Nerf gun if you don't pay attention. And
from out of a sack full of bullets.
He's got just this little bit of shake, and I thought I was calling him up to be lit up. I'm like, no, dude, it's okay. See, I had the one Nerf gun that I pulled out of my pocket that I've had because there was all this talk.
Someone take their finger off the safety on a Nerf gun.
And he has this moment of, like, this is where I die. And I'm like, no, dude, here. I take it and I, like, grab it by a way that I can't shoot it, and I toss it off the stage. And he pauses just that moment. Like when you see a wild animal and it first sees the human, it's like, run, maybe not. Okay, then go. And he starts coming up to the stage and he's twitchy and looking around. And I'm like, no, here, let me take that. And it was like, no, give me your life vest. He just, like, paused again. I'm like, no, dude, it'll be okay. And I'm like, no, I've got... And I think that got misconstrued. I'm like, no, I've got the Australian enforcer, because he said, like, if something goes down, just, like, snap your fingers and point and we'll have some fun. And I'm like, no, he'll have your back too, and I'll, here, just give it to me. And then he's just shaking. He sits in the seat.
It was
just so, he was so worked up. I thought he was just going to, like, just go,
and then
and
you
die.
And then you took his gun and shoved it into his kidney.
Well, I said it'll be fine and let him know. And then he, like, freaked out. I'm like, no, come on. Nerf guns from zero range doesn't feel.
It was like he was, like, the child witness to, like, a hit. And this was his moment in front of the jury, in front of the man he saw do it. It's like, no, it'll be fine. Just be brave. Just be brave. Just get up there. Just do your best.
I spent the whole time wondering if I'd made a mistake. It was like bringing the whole thing up.
It was like this Rise of the Planet of the Apes moment where the humans and the apes are trying to talk each other down. Where it's like, lower your weapons. We just want peace.
And to the panel's credit, it didn't blow into full-on Nerf war.
Oh, if only it had.
John, that would have been great. No, the thing is, that was Garges down for next year.
Well, when we get Stew.
Yeah. I was genuinely concerned about bringing Nerf guns over the border. Like, I bringing it into Canada, no problem. But, like, bringing it back, like, I just have these nightmare scenarios of just, like... Like, it's just all my family are just like, you brought your medicine, you need to have it labeled. What do you mean I need to have it? You need to have a proof that it is yours, or they're gonna take it, and they're gonna take you. I'm like, what?
Take you where?
I don't know!
Into the room over there where you disappear.
In Canada?
No, just like
have that. No,
when you go back into the States from Canada.
That's where Boston Pizza, like, Food goes.
Yeah.
Just tell them you were at the Transformers convention.
Like, I had a relative, like, if you need to stop on the road, don't sleep in the car, because someone will come up and shoot you in the head like Michael Jordan's dad. And, like, that is a story they've told me since I was five.
Wait, pump the brakes here for a second.
Space Jam's got a guitar.
I don't know. Everybody, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to play it.
That's terrible.
I have.
I'm sorry. That's, like, honestly, like, anytime I go anywhere, like, this family member will come out of the woodwork of, like, are you going to be a... I honestly think, like, my family, like, my grandparents were, like, mafia. Because, no, this is a story that...
And you want this recorded, why?
This is a story that I have heard, is that my grandparents lived in Jersey City, and they had a name that was identical to a mafia family in Jersey City. So they moved from Jersey City and dropped the last letter off of it and pronounced it as an English word. Now you have me worried. I don't actually want to, like, say
that. Okay, but that's, like, the worst witness protection I've ever heard.
Yeah. I know.
Backspace?
But, like, I heard
I'm not Bobby No-Nos. I'm Bobby No-No.
My name is Aaron Smith. I've never heard of Aaron Smith. My name is Chris. Did you know that once in elementary school, a teacher mispronounced my last name?
Wait.
No, and I have to let it stew for a bit now, because you're all going to try to think of how on earth.
I actually have an idea of this.
Chris Ho?
Was it like a Chris Ha?
That's it.
Oh,
okay. I was sitting there, the vice principal comes in and says, "Where's Chris Ha?" And I'm just ignoring him because I'm like, well, that's not me. Like, Chris Ha? Chris Ha? And someone's like, hey. I'm like, what? He's like, Chris Ha. And I'm like, what? Who's that? Where's Chris Hall? Who's he talking about? And he looks, he's like, are you Chris Ha? I'm like, no, I'm Chris Ho. You dimwit. I didn't say that part, that last part.
You thought it, though.
I love eating ha-has. They're great.
But no, just to finish up on that, the reason that I think that is because anytime I go anywhere, I heard that story when I was like 5, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of neat. But when I was like 18 and like was like driving regularly, my grandparents would always be like, watch out for cops. And it just clicked like one day. I'm like, why do they keep no, that's dumb. Is that dumb? I don't know if that's dumb.
Well, no,
and just like hearing like that.
Watch out for cops. Like in general.
A lot. Yeah.
Can't trust
like,
Stan.
A lot.
That was an amazing story, sorry, boat.
Don't tase me, bro.
Bra.
It's still unsettling me under that like fuzzy like rock wig.
Did I eyebrow enough for all of you?
Did it record?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's got good. The eyebrow?
Yeah, you heard the muscle go.
Yes, you know this.
Pardon?
No, we haven't.
No, I haven't.
Right. So we got a problem because Ken is upstairs watching Evo and waiting for all of us to get back up to the room so we can discuss when he's leaving tomorrow.
I guess I should come up there.
Guess we go watch Smash Bros. Real quick now.
Why can't I watch a real game like Tekken?
You know,
man. Speaking of video games,
no,
nope,
no.
If you want to know about video games, go to chooch.biz.
What?
That sounds like a porno site.
Yeah.
Okay. I got sick of saying video game choo choo, so we eventually shortened it to chooch.
That sounds like the word
That's
for
worse.
Some kind of hole on some. I'm sorry.
Chooch.com was taken.
Well, yes.
Okay. First of all,
I'm going to shoot you in the neck.
Close enough.
No, it wasn't.
We all know the only true esport is Yoshi's Cookie. I mean,
that's called digital
Yoko.
Sport. Digital sport, please.
Yoko 2015.
Esports.
Please, Be digital
sports. You're a
sports.
Guy, you play this one game, and if you're a girl, you have to play Tekken. Alright?
Alright, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yep.
Alright. Who shot this?
This got too real.
No.
Add all that up, I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.